Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk about the keys. The keys of the kingdom, the keys to our salvation, the keys that every Christian has access to. And to start off, I would just like to read a few verses. And if I could, I'll have some participation this morning. Who would like to read a verse? And I'll just give you a verse to look up and read. Anybody? Rusty, look up Isaiah 22:22. Next. Harry, Matthew 16:19. Dan, Revelation 1:18. I've got two others. All right. Loretta, Revelation 3:7. And was that you, Cookie? Matthew 18:18. Are you ready, Rusty?
Yep.
All righty. Read it off.
I will put the key to the house of David around his neck. If he opens the door, no one will be able to close it. If he closes the door, no one will be able to open it.
Amen. All right. Matthew 16:19. That's where it is. All right. Next one, Revelation 1:18.
I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Revelation 3:7. Last one, Matthew 18:18.
I tell you this, whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven.
All right. Amen. So there are a few verses talking about some keys. Old Testament, New Testament, something about the key. There's a key of David. There's the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whenever God opens a door, no man can shut it. Whenever God closes a door, no man can open it, just like on the ark. God shut the door, and no one could open it until that day when they rested in the safe place on top of Mount Ararat. So, there's our verses for the day. We'll reference those for the next few minutes. But I wrote a few notes here last night, trying to prepare for this. And so we've got God the Father, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got Jesus. All power, authority, dominion, the keys to heaven and hell, the power to heal, the power to set free, the power to create, the power to bind and loose, are all found within the Godhead, the Trinity of God. And all of that, because of our salvation, because we gave our life to Jesus at the cross when he died for our sins, we bowed our knee and said, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins, for dying for me. All of that, that God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, all that they have, they gave to us. They just said, here's the keys to the kingdom. You are now an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's what our Bible says. And so now we have all power, all authority, all dominion. We have in ourselves, because of Jesus residing inside of us, the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We have inside of us the power to heal. We have inside of us the power to set people free, the power to create with our words, the power to bind and to loose, because Jesus died for us. And from that standpoint, we should be living totally extraordinary lives. And I know we are, because we're saved. God has totally transferred us from a path towards death to a path towards life, which is so awesome. And so there are a couple of keys that we reference often in our Christian walk. One of those keys is salvation. Without salvation, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Without accepting the work that Jesus did on the cross for us, there's no hope. So that's one key, because without it, you can't do anything else. Right? He redeemed our life from death and brought it to life. He changed our future when he saved us. The blood of Jesus is another key, because the blood of Jesus, it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It heals every disease, and it sanctifies us continually. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's all the time. Continual sanctification is something that Paul wrote a lot about. Continuing to sanctify our way, continuing to sanctify our mind. He said, what's that verse in Romans about the transforming of our mind? Can anyone quote that for me? It's not coming right now.
Romans 12:1.
Okay, yeah. Let me look it up really quick. I just want to read that. Romans 12. It's not 1 and 2. Oh, that's 1 Corinthians. My bad. I'm in Corinthians.
Be not conformed to the world.
Yes. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm looking for. Thanks. Yes. Well, 12:2. All right. Thank you. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's a continual sanctification of the blood of Jesus Christ being worked inside of us. Because on a day-to-day basis, we're susceptible to the world, right? We're living in the world. And so we hear swear words. We see obscenity. We hear obscenities. We see ungodly acts. We hear about them on the news. We see them on the news. We see them in our workplace and even sometimes in our own families when people do different things. We're so aware of the earth and all the sin and all the corruption that is here on this earth. And in our life, we're in a day-to-day process of changing our mind, renewing our mind to the not the mind of humanity, but the mind of Christ. The Bible says, put ye on the whole armor of God. And it also says, be in Christ. Be found in Jesus Christ. Have ye the mind of Christ, and let the mind of Christ be in you. Those are all scriptures we can look up in the Bible. Have the mind of Christ. And that's a totally different mind. A mind that we're not used to on earth. Because the mind of Christ isn't earthly. It isn't from this realm. It's not from this area. It's from the kingdom of God. It's from a different realm. The supernatural realm is where the mind of Christ is from. And so when it's talking about putting on the mind of Christ and letting the mind of Christ be inside of you, it's talking about embracing a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of looking at life. The kingdom mindset. The mindset with that when you come to a problem, you're like, well, God's already given me the keys to either walk through this problem, he's given me the keys to overcome this problem, and he's given me the keys to change this problem because of the power of God within us. And one thing I Googled last night, because when I read Isaiah 22:22 and talking about the key of David, what is the key of David? What is that? So I Googled it, and there's a few people who have written about it. And what I sort of found is that some occult uses the key of David as this whole weird way out teaching. But there's also a guy who wrote about it that said the key of David is pretty much representing the heart of David. And the heart of David is God's heart, because God said he has a heart towards me, right? He has a heart that I like David's heart. I like where he is centered. I like where his focus is at, because it's not about him, but it's about me and my kingdom. David was all about God. He was all about doing, yeah, he messed up, but just as you know, Bob's been talking about in Sunday school, the heart of David was that he would bring worship to God and find a resting place for God to reside, a resting place for his presence. And God's presence is synonymous with his kingdom. Because wherever his presence is, all the rules and regulations, all the power, all the authority, everything about the kingdom of God is right there in God's presence. And so the key of David wasn't just something that, you know, King David had in his pocket or around his neck. It's a spiritual sign or symbol of bringing the kingdom of God to earth now. And that's what I'd like to talk about for a little bit. And I'm probably going to run out of things to say before our time is up. But when we really begin to dig into this, it's mind-blowing. At prayer this last week, we read a few verses about how Paul was praying for us in Ephesians that we could walk the earth like Jesus walked the earth, to paraphrase it very simply. And Jesus wanted us to walk the earth like he walked it, raising the dead, healing the sick, seeing the blind see, seeing the deaf speak, and the mute, and the all these different people who were suffering, who were bound, to set them free. And that's our calling. We don't have to be a prophet, pastor, evangelist, or teacher to do these things. We just have to be a Christian, and boom, we've got the keys. Boom, we're made righteous. We're already made acceptable. We can walk in the divine authority of God from day one. Day one. We don't even have to know the scripture to be able to walk in the authority God has given us. That helps a lot, to know the scripture. That's something that comes with it. But I want to encourage us today that there is more for us. There is more for us to do. There is more for us to say. There is more ground that we can gain for the kingdom of heaven in our everyday life. He has given us the keys to bring the kingdom of God to earth now. And I'd like to read a few notes that I have from a convention that I went to at my old church. We have, every year, we have a yearly convention. And Bishop Tommy Reed and a few other preachers and pastors, they come in and they teach Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday night. And we just have a huge congregational convention of all the churches that we've planted around the world. They all come back for a weekend in May, and it's a really amazing time. Anyway, this guy, Bishop Tommy Reed, is one of the, I think, the greatest generals that's still alive in the kingdom of heaven right now. And he was friends with, like, Paul Crouch and Benny Hinn's pastor and all kinds of cool things like that. But he went on to say in his sermon, he said, God is going to do a new thing in our world. And he referenced Hebrews 6, verse 5. If you'd like to turn there, we'll read it. And it's kind of in the middle of a saying, and we're not going to get into the context that it's in, but just this snapshot of a verse he jumped on. It's Hebrews 6, 5. And it reads, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And he jumped on that little paraphrase, the age to come. And the age to come is the kingdom of heaven. We know that someday Jesus is going to come and he's going to wipe out all sin. He's going to wipe out all unbelievers and he's going to start anew. He's going to have a brand new earth with all of the believers and whatever else that he has planned for us. We know that there is an age to come after this present age. And that age is our eternity with Jesus. That age is when we're in heaven, when we're glorifying God forever and ever, just saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and we're just in the best place ever. There's no more sin, there's no more sickness, there's nothing that is bad, nothing that is evil, nothing that is harmful, but everything is godly, everything is true, everything is pure, and everything is holy in the age to come. Okay, and so Paul here is talking about people who have fallen away, and it's how it's impossible for them to come back after they've fallen and just different stuff. But the key is they tasted of the age to come, the powers of the age to come. That's when a miracle happens. We taste of that future time. when we're in heaven. When God comes into this world and does something supernatural, that's a taste of the age to come. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to taste that a little bit more often. I'd like to taste the age to come a little bit more often. And I believe that the key of David, the key of Jesus coming to earth, is something that if we tap into, we can get a glimpse of the age to come more often. The age to come will invade this present age, Bishop Thomas Reed said. He said, living in your future, which is dreaming God's dreams. You see, we can dream our own dreams, but God has a dream for us. And when we're in line with His will, when we're in line with the plan of God for our lives, we begin to dream God's dreams for us. And then our dreams are His dreams. Our heart is beating for what His heart is beating for. When we look through our eyes, we're not looking through our eyes, but we're looking through His eyes, and we see the world from a whole different perspective. Jesus spent time in the age to come. Every single time, He had a huge miracle. You can look through the Scripture, and you can see where He had just come from spending time with God. The Bible will talk about, and He went up to the mountain. And then the next verse, He came down from the mountain. And the next verse, He fed the 5,000. Or the next verse, He healed the sick. Or the next verse, He raised the dead. It was always after spending time with God. And in the presence of God, God was able to reveal to Jesus what His next move was. He was able to show Him, say, hey, look, this is what I want you to do now. Okay, and Jesus is like, all right, let's go do it. And so when He got to that place in the field where there was 5,000 men, probably around 15,000 people, and all there was a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread, Jesus is like, well, that's okay. God already showed me. He's going to multiply it and everybody's going to eat and there's going to be 12 baskets of bread left over. This is easy. Why did He have that ability? Because He was in the presence of God and God showed Him a future moment. He showed Him something that was going to happen because of the power of God coming down to earth in that moment. Something supernatural God showed Jesus before it happened. We don't see that documented. We don't see their conversation or anything, but it's something that we can draw from. It's not, I guess, doctrinal, but we see that as a constant, Jesus spending time with God and then doing the miraculous. I think that's so awesome. I know in my life, whenever something really awesome happened, it was generally after a time of prayer and fasting. Because in that prayer and fasting time, I put away my flesh and I let God satisfy my desires. And I remember so keenly, it was my third day of a 7-day no food fast, only water. And my mom had just made pizza. And it was like there's 5 pizzas on the table. They were all just filling the whole house with awesome, sweet-smelling aromas. And I was like, God, help me. Oh, my gosh. Why, Mom? You know I'm fasting. And then she's like, do you want to eat? I was like, just a minute. And I went to the other room, and I was like, God, you know I'm fasting, but you also know Mom just made pizza. And I'm starving right now, God. I haven't eaten in 3 days. I really like to have pizza, but if you take this desire from me, you take this hunger from me to eat that food, I won't go and eat, but I'll sit here and spend time with you. Just like that. Hunger was gone. I was like, Mom, I'm okay. And I had an amazing time with God right after that. 3 hours, just me and God and the Bible and Him just walking me through different really cool things and just basking in the presence of God. It satisfied not only my spiritual need, but my physical desire to eat real food. And then after that, I went to Haiti on a missions trip, and it was incredible. And just, I was in the middle of Bible school, and it was just an amazing time where we were praying for people, and they were getting healed. And we were, furthering the kingdom of God pretty much every second of every day, because we were just in this 24/7 Bible school internship where all you do is you're a slave to church, pretty much. And willingly, of course. But that was because I was spending time in the age to come. Because, okay, let's backtrack. Adam and Eve in the garden, right? That was an age of its own. Because Adam and Eve could walk with God. They could talk with God. They could probably interface with God. It was just, everything was awesome. There's no sin, no sickness, no disease. It was an awesome place. It was heaven. When sin came, a new age happened. The age of sinful mankind. And all of a sudden we were separated from God. We could not bask in His presence. We could not walk in the cool of the day in the garden with God anymore. And until Jesus came, we didn't even have a chance to get a second or a glimpse of that. But now since Jesus has come, we can get a glimpse of that place. We can get a glimpse of heaven. The more time we spend with God, the more time we can walk in that divine place in God. And I remember reading Benny Hinn's biography called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And every single day, he would wake up and say, Good morning, Holy Spirit. What is it today? He spent, I don't know, a couple hours in the presence of God. And then God, in that time, God would show him things for the rest of his day. And he would fill up with the presence of God. He'd fill up with the power and with the anointing of God. And from that time, he was fueled for the rest of the day to further the kingdom of God and to go and do all the miracles that we have known him to be able to be a part of. Because he spent time in the age to come, in the presence of God. He used that key of David, where his heart wanted to bring heaven to earth now. And I believe we can be used just like that. And all it takes is a few moments even, just saying, God, here I am. You know, God, right now I've got 1,000 other things to do, but I'm going to take my time and I'm just going to seek your face. Not because I'm going to be made right, not because I'm going to get anything out of it, but God, because number one, I love you. God, because number two, I want to see your kingdom here on earth. God, number three, I want to see all the people around me stop suffering and start living life the way you meant it to be lived. And from that place, God's going to do amazing things through us. And it won't be forever, you know, because we're going to heaven. So that's awesome. We won't have to struggle with our life and struggle with time and, you know, responsibilities and all these other things. But one thing I've learned, because another key to the kingdom of God is a principle called sowing and reaping. Okay, and that's not just financial. It's not just literal with plants and seeds. But it's with your time, your talent, and your treasure. When you sow your time, when you sow your treasure, when you show your finances into the kingdom of God, into the things that God is doing, somehow it always gets multiplied. It always gets expanded. And so if you don't have time in your day to spend time with God and He'll make all the other things work out. I remember reading in my devotional growing up, what's her name? Copeland. Is it Victoria Copeland? Is Kenneth Copeland's wife?
Yeah.
Gloria. Okay. Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland co-wrote this teen devotional that I was reading. And she said in her early days, she had a lot of kids, you know, they were busy with the ministry and they were working at the same time. And she always had this want to refurnish furniture. And so she was praying about it and was like, God, you know, you said you'll satisfy the desires of our heart. And he's like, yeah, how about you spend some time with me? And she's like, but God, I don't have any time. He's like, just give it a try. And so she did. She said she'd spend like half an hour that she didn't have in time with God, prayer, reading the Bible, worship, whatever it was, she just made sure it was her and God time. And then all of a sudden, all of the stuff in her day got done earlier than normal, and she ended up being able to refinish dressers and beds and, you know, tables and different things that she loved to do because she made God number one. And that goes right to the verse, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all the other things will be added unto you. All the other things will come when we make God number one, when we spend time in the age to come, when we seek Him first. All of the dreams in our heart that we want to see come true, all the people in our life that we so desperately want to have a relationship with God, to be saved and rescued and transformed, will come when we spend time in the age to come. When we spend time in God's presence, when we use the key that God gave us and just say, hey, here I am, use me. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm yours. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before you come, Jesus, I want to see the kingdom of God here, putting in motion. God, before you come riding on the clouds, I want to be able to already be in your kingdom, to already be in your presence, to already be walking in the age to come. Because you said I could, Lord. What else do I have? The kingdom of God is within us. Just as when Jesus calmed the storm, he let the kingdom inside of him redefine the natural circumstances. So the same, we must also redefine our sphere of influence by letting the kingdom of God that's on the inside of us, which is the age to come, out into this world. If we have faith that God's word is true, then the kingdom will be there. All we have to do is have faith that what he says is true, that God is not a liar. And when we place our faith in just that one thing, God is true, it changes everything. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak, the lame will walk, the dead will be raised, and peace will reign when we walk in the age to come. Spending time in the age to come is spending time in His presence. From that will flow everything from that age to the here and now. Praise the Lord. I'd like to look at Mark 4:11. Got a few more minutes. This is Jesus talking. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So he was talking to the disciples about why he had to say parables and different things and use story illustrations to prove a point. Is because that people who were outside the kingdom of God needed something to correlate the principle that he was teaching on to real life. And he said to his disciples, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So we are his disciples, and he has given it to us, the ability to know what is the mystery of the kingdom of God. And all we need to do is tap into it. We just need to say, Lord, I want your kingdom here on earth. I want your kingdom to reside in me and I in it, because that's why I was created. That's why we were created, to give God glory in every second of every single day. And I thought it was really cool after I wrote all these notes, today's verse of the day on my Bible app was Ephesians 3:20-21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Okay, so that shows us that the power is already in us because Jesus is in us. So it says, according to the power that works in us, or according to the power of Jesus who is in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I thought that was so awesome that if you really look for it in Scripture, it's constantly talking about Jesus in you. You know, people talk about Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus in you. Put Jesus on. Have the mind of Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Let God move through you. Be a vessel of honor, not dishonor. You know, there's constant parallels in the Scripture that all synonymously tie together and teach us that if we spend time in the presence of God, God is going to change us from our old person into a new man, into the actual image of Jesus to the world, is the end goal, is to renew us completely, 100%. If we were totally and completely transformed, then we would look just like Jesus. Because that's the plan that's put into place in the Bible. And so this morning, I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you are challenged to spend some more time in the presence of God, to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near, because the Bible talks about a day when He's not going to be near. And hopefully, we'll be gone by that point. But call on God. The Bible says in the Old Testament, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's in the Old Testament. That's in the New Testament. It's through the whole thing. The key of David, the spending time in God's presence to unlock the age to come in the here and now. And we could really talk about this for a very, very long time. But just remember that the key to the kingdom of God is already inside of you. If you say that Jesus is your Lord, the key to the kingdom of God is inside of you. The keys to death, hell, and the grave, they're inside of you. The keys to further the kingdom of heaven, the keys to heal the sick are within you. You don't have to be a healer, you know. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a teacher or an evangelist or anything. The Bible just says, go. Go and do. Go and walk in the anointing. Go and walk in the power. Go and be my ambassador. And as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you have the seal of the kingdom of heaven. And you can, everything that you stamp with the approval of the kingdom of heaven, all of the authority, all of the power that comes from the kingdom of heaven is right there with you. And from that place, I believe that we can totally rock this North Country. I believe if a core group, say 25 of you or 30 of you who are here this morning, if we all got a hold of this, like nobody's business, like if this was our life sole focus, is furthering the kingdom of heaven, I'm telling you, this place would be a whole different place to live in. And that's what I'm believing God's going to do, especially when we launch this new church. I am so excited for this church. I am so excited to stamp another flag for the kingdom of heaven in the ground. And I am praying that the kingdom of heaven is going to invade this present age in both Richville and in Governor and in Madrid and Potsdam and Palmyra, however you say that. Moira. Thank you. You know, wherever, especially our core group of people, our system of churches is, especially where our people are, that the kingdom of God would invade this present age. And that doesn't mean that, you know, it's just going to be like a little church mouse in the whole scheme of things, but an invasion means big things. It means takeover. It means governmental takeover. And so I'm praying that God is going to come and He's going to governmentally take over Governor, take over Richville, maybe not just, you know, throw out all the people who are there, but just get them saved. That's easier. And all the businesses in town and all the people in town. You know, there once was a time when, I believe, Bob, what was it, 95% of Governor was saved or something like that? 1830s. Charles Finney? Yeah. So it's happened before, and it can happen again. And I spoke about a revolution, just one full rotation, coming back to the start. I believe that God wants to do something awesome. And it's really up to us when it comes down to it. It's up to, if we're going to be, God, I'm all in. God, here am I. Send me. And so yeah, let's just pray right now, and we'll go on about the rest of the service. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you gave to us, God. For this instruction manual on how to live life. God, thank you so much for this thing that you've given us to show us example after example after example of how much you love us and how much you care for us and how much you care for this world and how much you desperately want to come down and heal the whole entire world. But you can't unless we use the keys that you've given us to do so, Lord. So God, I ask right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would empower us with a new boldness. Lord, a new boldness to put away the flesh, a new boldness to set aside time that we normally spend doing other things, Lord, knowing that time with you is most important, God. Help us, Lord. Where we are weak in this, help us, God. You said when we're weak, you are strong. So be strong for us, Lord, and help us to seek your face more often. God, help us to get into the age to come more often, God. That we could more often see your kingdom in effect and moving full force in our everyday life, Lord. I ask, God, that Governor and Richville and Madrid, God, and Potsdam and Moira, God, and all these other North Country towns, Father God, especially where we are planted, God, that your kingdom would invade this place in Jesus' name. Lord God, that the powers that be would be removed in Jesus' name, and your power, your anointing, your authority would be set in place, O God, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, O God, to change lives from death and bring them into life, O God, to transfer them, O God, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name, God, we're calling on you, Lord. We're humbling ourselves and we're praying, we're seeking your face, oh God, to do a new thing, Father, to invade this present age with the age where you are, God. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this day, God, and we thank you for all that you are, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Stand up for Jesus. like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, he gave back my sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Treated.